All right, you're listening to Carve on 2SCR. It's been a long time coming. We've been hyping it up all show, but it's finally time for our Carve Life performer this week, Jesse Lancaster of Brain Snacks. First of all, hello.
Hello.
Hi, how friends. Are you?
I am very excited.
It's wonderful to have you here. We've been hyping up the poetry readings that are about to take place. Do we think we should just jump right in? You should just start, you know, start with one that you're feeling?
Yeah, we'll start with a snack. I believe this poem doesn't really need an introduction. So I'll start with this and then I might talk more about brain snacks afterwards.
I like that.
Well, let's go. So this one is titled Immature Boys as Raw Chicken. Let's go. Dating an immature boy is like watching a raw chicken breast boiling in a pot. You crave a meal healthy and tender. You're starving, patiently anticipating the nourishment you deserve. By all means, you can wait until he is no longer pink. But know that right now, every time you take a bite, you'll get salmonella and shit yourself.
Terrific, terrific. I want to ask you a few questions.
Of course,
actually.
I'm ready.
Well, first of all, what inspired the creation of this page? It was created at the end of 2020,
yeah,
if I'm not mistaken.
That is correct. So I studied psychology for 2 years before I then got into WAPA. So I put that aside. So I studied at WAPA for 3 years during the acting course. And then after the acting course, I was very lucky to land work as an actor with a poetry company, which I've now worked for 15 months. So the combination of this bit of the psych background, the acting background, and now the poetry background, I've kind of combined it all to create this weird and wonderful poetry page where it's some of it's poetry, some of it is honestly psychological and philosophical rambles about noticing things about life. And really, they are snacks to help digest the human experience. That's the aim anyway.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Let's dive into another. I want to hear more. Let's go.
Okay.
After some snacks. I'm craving it.
Now, I did start with a bit of a lighter one, but these next two, it's a two-part series. They are a bit of a darker subject.
Sure.
So this first one is called Black Widow, and it's really about how we project our unhealed wounds onto others, in particular in romantic relationships. And in the poem, I attempt to talk about noticing our patterns, but more importantly, approaching ourselves with compassion and others with compassion as well. So I will read the first segment called Black Widow. Beware before you get close, as I am a black widow. Curiosity will draw you in, infatuation, lust. But the venom is insidious, and before long you will be lifeless. However, my lovers always seem to flee before their timely death. I was not born with this venom. It was injected in me without consent, running through veins that give life to a body which has been looked at, not seen. A voice that has been silenced when no was not enough, and a spirit abandoned. We black widows must not blame ourselves for our unhealthy patterns. They are a result of the lingering fingerprints which remain on our skin from those who have not loved us. But even spiders shed their skin eventually. We black widows are strong with sharp instincts, and my spidey senses are telling me that I am the sole ingredient to my antivenom. Now, this next one is called Antivenom, funnily enough, and this is about going on from what I just talked about, noticing our patterns as humans and approaching it with compassion. But a lot of the time people always give you that thing of, I'm going to go work on myself, but what does that actually mean? So I look at that in this poem. And this one in particular is talking about going inwards, and there's a psychological healing called inner child work. So I look at that in this poem.
Yeah.
Okay, this is Antivenom. This terror that breathes inside me projects itself in disguised shapes. When outsiders enter its gates, it latches, destroying what could have been before I have the chance to understand what is happening. The voice of this terror is recognisable, screaming out to be heard, screaming out to be loved, abandoned, lost, frightened, but impossible to ignore. I rip off my band-aids, neglect my external crutches, and enter the gates to this terror inside me. But unlike its previous visitors, it doesn't destroy me. I dust off the cobwebs and carefully reach out a hand. This voice goes quiet, reluctant, stubborn, childish. I whisper, "What is it you need? I'm listening. I'm here now." There we go. That was Black Widow and Antivenom, a two-part series.
Yeah, wow. That's more than a snack. That's
bit of a meal, that one.
That's a hearty, hearty meal. How long have you written poetry for?
I've been writing for on and off for quite a few years, since I was like 4 years old. I remember writing my first book with my grandfather called The Askney, about this creature in this forest that we made up. But what I was noticing, especially through COVID, when such big things were happening in the world, I found myself, when I was talking to my friends about anything that needed more words than just, "Oh, I feel sad," I found myself actually describing things in analogies. Mm. Like, I think I remember talking about going on a date, and I was like, it's like a raw piece of chicken. I keep eating it and
How was your date? Myself. It's a raw piece of chicken.
And then I was like, what if I start writing these in my old and friendly trusty notes app on my phone? And then I did, and then Brain Snacks kind of just happened.
I was about to ask what the notes section of your phone looks like.
Don't go there.
Yeah. Scary. Is there just lots of drafts, beginnings of ideas?
I heard a really interesting thing the other day about the notes app is either like, "Oh, my feelings of this moral dilemma." And then the next app will be like, "Groceries, I need milk and eggs."
Yes.
And like the contrast in the notes apps. Mm. But yeah, the notes app is where it all belongs.
You can almost do a like sketch cabaret show just called the Notes App. And just be going from one
Hang
thing
on, I
to
need to write that
Yeah,
down
write that
app.
Down
that's
in the Notes App.
Genius, right.
All right, cool. Well, I think without further ado, I'm ready for more snacks. Let's go.
I might go to a bit of a lighter one because the next one was going to be a bit dark. But let's bring it up a bit.
Okay.
Okay, this one is called The Moral Dilemma. Okay. Most of the time, I feel like a good person until I reach a pedestrian crossing and there is another person waiting. But they are at a questionable distance from the beeping button. Have they pressed it? Should I press it? Should I wait? All we have is time, and there is no greater tragedy than its waste. I press it. The green man calls. I cross. So do they. Oh, I feel like a dickhead. Even though the reason for their increased presence in our cities is dark, let us be grateful for automated pedestrian traffic lights.
That's a wonderful final line. If you are just tuning in, by the way, you're listening to Jesse Lancaster of Brain Snacks, which is a poetry page on Instagram. Make sure you give it a follow, just in case you just tuned in and you're either confused, going, "What's going on? What's this is?" Or you're just struck in awe and you're like, "Where do I find more?" Brain Snacks on Instagram. Speaking of Instagram,
yes.
I'm interested in your thoughts of Instagram as a platform for sharing poetry. It feels like it's become more and more popular as a place for that sort of, even like text-based mediums. People are moving away from things like Twitter, and just an Instagram is a place that's holding all sorts of mediums now.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, to be completely honest with you, I was hesitant to become a quote-unquote Insta poet, I believe is the term these days. Mm. But I've just kind of embraced it. And what's been amazing is there is an amazing poetry community on Instagram. And I've had lots of messages from other Insta poets who we hype each other up.
Mm.
And it's actually a really beautiful community. And another great thing about Instagram over Twitter. So if you go to the Brain Snacks page, you can actually, with Instagram, obviously, because it's a visual medium, you can create these poems and add images to them. So it's kind of like your own little storybook.
Mm. Yeah.
So I would say embrace the Insta poet. Embrace your inner Insta poet is how I would phrase that poetically.
Embrace your inner Insta
poet.
Poet.
Yeah.
Awesome. I'm ready for another snack.
Ready for another snack.
How many more snacks have we got? We got two more snacks?
We have two more snacks. Delicious.
Love it.
Okay, so a bit of a content warning on this one. So this one I wrote in response to the March for Justice that we've seen this year. But to be completely honest, I also wrote it in the response of being a woman in society. So this one is called Survivor/Warrior. If our brains went to the gym, every day would be amygdala day. We know how to read our environment as quickly as possible. We feel the eyes on our skin from the stare that doesn't blink. We sense the subtle shift in your body language. We detect something small in the present, putrid with potential for future catastrophe. Our instincts have been tuned to the insidious. And for the circumstances women have been through to form these superpowers, I am truly sorry. Believe women, for all the reasons you should believe a human being speaking their truth. And believe women, because we have been forced to evolve the most credible knowing.
I imagine your writing process for each poem is completely different. I don't know. Yeah. That's just, I'm not sure if that's true or not, but yeah, obviously there's some that I feel like just come to you when just a moment happens or anecdotal in a way. And there are some that really have a lot of weight, like that one and like some of the earlier ones. Yeah. Describe your writing process. Apart from the note section, I guess.
I think with almost all of my poems, they have come from what I would describe a creative rush. That doesn't sound too naff. A moment of like, that's the thing. I have to write that and I'll write it down. And or it'll come from an experience. For example, I'm in the process of writing one. I Googled the address of a doctor's and found myself in the doctor surgery and she was Googling my symptoms. And I thought that was just hilarious. A doctor Googling something when I just Googled it. I was just like, okay, that concept, I need to write that down. But then I will stick with that concept and then that might just cook in my brain. So many cooking analogies today. Over a couple of weeks and then I'll add to it. But as you were saying, something with quite a lot of weight, like Survivor/Warrior, I actually find those ones come to me quite quickly.
All right, take us out with one final snack.
Okay, so this is my most recent brain snack, and it is called Dear Human Who Has Been Labeled Too Blank.
Cool.
Here we go. Are you actually too much? Because as far as I'm concerned, one of life's greatest treasures is when a vending machine drops that extra packet of chips when you weren't expecting it. Some may even call this a miracle. The voice that told you, you are too much, has come from a place of limitation and shortcoming. What a blessing it is that you have the capacity to see further, to feel deeper, to express boldly, to expand. Keep going.
Beautiful.
Yeah, thank you. And on that note,
Jessie, thank you so much for coming
in. Thank you so much for having me.
It's been a pleasure. It's been beautiful. If you've just tuned in, we've been speaking with Jessie Lancaster of Brain Snacks, an Instagram poetry page. Make sure you follow at Brain Snacks. It's spelt how it sounds. And Jessie, thanks once again.
Thank you.